And so I want us to look in this morning in the passage of Luke, or in the book of Luke in chapter 7. And I want to read to you this passage. And we've titled this message this morning, Faith Made the Difference. Faith Made the Difference. And there's a lot of different approaches that an individual could take to this passage of Scripture. And this morning I want us to consider the centurion. And so when I read this passage this morning, I want us to look at this passage through the centurion's eyes. I want us to kind of imagine in our own mind what was taking place, what the need was, what the desire was, and what Christ was able to do. But I want us to do it through this centurion's eyes. You know, we could do it through the eyes of the one that was healed. We could do it through the eyes of Christ and him seeing the need and his willingness and his grace. But there's a message here that I would like to share that is simply dealing with faith. We have to practice our faith every day. Whether we realize it or not, that is something that it is important that we practice our faith, because there are going to be some things that we deal with that we didn't ask for. There's going to be some things that we encounter that we're not sure what to do. And so there's going to be situations that that maybe we're in right now that we don't know what to do other than put it in God's hands and deal with the situation by faith. And so that's what I want us to look at this morning, beginning with verse 1 of Luke chapter 7. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying, and let me make mention here that they didn't hesitate. These that were that went to Jesus, they did not hesitate in the request that this centurion had. And that's important for us to know. They didn't hesitate. They just went straight to Jesus. That he had worthy of whom he should do this. In other words, he was. They were pleading the case of to Jesus, saying, he's worthy. You need to answer this request because he's worthy. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. So that's the things that he was doing. He was well known for the fact that he loved the Jews. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come to thee, but say in the word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man sent under the authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, to another, come, and he cometh, to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they were all sent and returned to the house and found the servant whole that had been sick. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together, and thank you for this opportunity. Lord, we don't ever want to take the opportunities that you give us for granted. Father, I thank you for all the music this morning and the messages and the songs and those that sang. But Father, we need your help this morning as we look into your word. Help us, Lord, we pray, and speak to hearts according to your will. Lord, I can't even begin to understand or even know what individuals need, but you do. So, Father, we lift this message up to you. Help me, we pray. We do pray for our pastor. He made the lame to walk. He cast out demons. He raised the dead. And he sat with the sinners. He sat with those that were known as sinners and publicans, which showed his compassion. He fed many individuals that were hungry. So Jesus was willing to minister in all counts of a person's life. We could call Jesus this morning a life changer. And truly he is. He's a life changer. And what makes this account so special? What makes this account so special to this centurion, and not only to the centurion, but those that were around that saw this miracle, and even the one that was healed? I want to make mention the fact that as we get into this message, that it's not who you are that brings grace. It's not who you are that brings grace. It's not your background. But it's simply Jesus. Faith makes a difference. Notice verse 3 with me as we look into this passage this morning. And we look through the centurion's eyes and we see this. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, and they would seek Jesus. He heard of Jesus. Chances are he had heard about some of these miracles that Jesus had performed. As we make known the fact that, as the scripture tells us, that he was friends, this centurion was friends with the Jews, and he built a synagogue. So we understand that he heard of Jesus. We understand that he knew the power of Jesus. And I'm sure that he heard of some of the teachings that Jesus had taught. But what makes this passage so special is the fact that he experienced Jesus. It's one thing to hear, it's one thing to listen, but it's another thing to experience Jesus Christ. We sing hymns such as "Just as I Am." We sing "I Surrender All." We sing "When I Have Gone the Last Mile of the Way." We sing songs like "Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross." We sing other hymns, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." "I Know Who Holds Tomorrow." And the song that Mike and Charlene sang, "Farther Along." But each one of those songs that I read to you, or that I gave you the title of, has something in common. And that is the word "I." I or me. Just as I am, Christ accepts me. I surrender all when we surrender ourselves to the Lord. When I've gone the last mile of the way is when we are dealing with life's journey. I didn't realize that, but that was my mother-in-law told me recently that that's one of Neva's favorite songs, almost 102 years old. And song's been around a while, hadn't it? "Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross." "Pass me not, O gentle Savior." And what I'm trying to get us to understand this morning, that is our relationship with the Lord that makes the difference. If you were to go into the hospital and you were to have a procedure and you were going to have to be put to sleep for this procedure, and you know, you want people to pray for you. You want people to lift you up, and you want encouragement. The last thing that you want is when you're talking to someone and they say, "Well, I'm going to pray for you," And after they say, I'm going to pray for you, said, I know someone who didn't do well in their surgery. You don't want encouragement like that. But you want individuals to pray for you. You want individuals to lift you up. But in reality, and I know this from experience, from some of the things that I've had done, when they're rolling you down the little hallway, you're depending on those individuals that are taking care of you, and you're dependent on them to make the right mistake, or not mistake. We don't want to make a mistake. Well, if they're going to make a mistake, I hope it's the right one. But you want them to take care of you, but in reality, you're putting yourself in God's hands. And when you're praying, you're praying that the doctor will guide those that are taking care of you. And in reality, you are having that moment when it's just you and God. You're having that moment. You know people are praying. You're thankful for that. You know people are thinking about you and you're thankful for that. But in reality, it's really between you and God. And that's what this passage is about this morning. Although there were others around, there was someone that needed to be healed, there were messengers that were going to Jesus Christ. But the reason I want us to look into through the eyes of the centurion is the fact that this is between the centurion and Jesus Christ. The most important thing that matters is our relationship with the Lord Jesus. That is the most important thing that matters, is our relationship. I've said this many times, and I will continue to say this, that if you're going through an issue, no matter what it is, you're more than a statistic. You listen to the statistics, and we hear things like, well, there's an 80% chance of this, or a 90% chance, or a 50% chance, or a 60% chance. Well, we all want to be on the positive chance. But in reality, it's really not up to the doctors, but it's up to the Lord. I've been asked to do a wedding here in the next week or two of a young teenager that was in our youth group at Manna. And I met with him recently, and I asked him both, I said, what does marriage mean to you? And they both looked at each other. And then I began to talk to them just about life. And just about the things that a couple has to deal with. And just promise. And I said, what if you said your I do's and tragedy struck the following week with the one that you said I do to? And then we began to talk about the divorce rate. And so I told him, I said, what is going to matter the most for a successful marriage is not how much money you have or not what kind of jobs, it's whether you put the Lord Jesus in that marriage. But you know, in life itself, it's the same thing. Jesus must be at the center of our life. And this morning I would like to look at this passage through the eyes of the centurion. And I would like us to realize this morning that it's faith that made the difference. It's faith that made the difference. Verse 2 tells us that the centurion saw a need. There was a need. The Bible says a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. So he had a special relationship with this servant. A very special relationship to where this individual he cared about and he thought a lot of. And that individual was at the point of death. And there was absolutely nothing that could be done on his own or within his own power. Because if there was, he would have done it. Because of his position, And he makes reference to his position to Jesus in verse 8. But he knew that there was absolutely nothing that he within his power could do about this situation. He could try to comfort the servant. He could try to hurt with the servant, because if you care about someone when they're going through pain, you feel that pain too. Never did understand it though, when a parent would say, maybe a child is getting disciplined, and a parent would say, "This is going to hurt me more than it does you." Never have really understood that. Even the very few times that I was able to punish Marshall, I didn't hurt like he hurt. I think that's just something to make you feel better. But you know, this centurion was hurting for the one he cared about. And that I do know is real. He could cry over the servant. He could cry over the condition and shed tears. Maybe he could put a wet washcloth over the forehead. You know, I remember my mother used to do that when she was trying to make me feel better. I had a fever. She would always, and it felt so good. And you could do something like that. He could love his servant. He could pace the floor. He could do all the things on the outside, but there was nothing that he could do within his power for this one that he cared about. That same account is recorded for us in the book of Matthew chapter 8, and I'll read one verse. This servant was actually lying. He says, when he was asking Jesus about healing this servant, it says, and Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously and tormented. And so there was a great sickness with the servant. He witnessed firsthand the suffering. He witnessed firsthand the pain. And he also witnessed the fact that he was in immediate danger, because the scripture records the fact that this servant was ready to die. He was at the point of death. And he was just before one would consider taking his last breath. Now we're looking at this through the centurion's eyes, and this is what the centurion was seeing. All around him was focused around this one individual. He saw a need. And I want to stop there just for a minute, and I want us to realize that it just seems like today individuals don't see a need of coming to Jesus Christ. We have got it really good. When we get sick, we go to the doctor, and the doctor prescribes us hopefully the right kind of medicine. And you know, most colds and those type of things, you feel better after a couple of days. And of course you do pray, but you start feeling better, and then you go on with your life. If there's financial situations, then you can go to a bank and possibly get approved for a loan, and that kind of helps with the burden of finances. And so we have it pretty good. But the picture here this morning is the fact that he saw the need, and we need to see the need too. If there's something in our life that we're dealing with, if there's something in our life, no matter what it is, it don't have to be a sickness. It could be a burden that we're carrying. It could be a difficult situation that we're dealing with, and we're having a hard time getting through it. We need to see that we have a need and do something with that need. He saw that he could do nothing, And he didn't say, well, if he, as he's talking about the servant, he didn't say, well, if he wouldn't have done this, or he wouldn't be in that condition. If he wouldn't have done this, or had that problem, or if he had been living right, this wouldn't have happened. He didn't have those thoughts in his mind. He didn't say, well, this is what he needs. Somebody giving you advice. This is what he needs to do. He needs you don't hear much about it, but there were two things when I was growing up, and we had salve for everything. I mean, you name it, we had salve. The other thing that we had was mercurochrome and methylate. I just wonder what happened to those things, because that seemed to be the miracle worker. And I think it was mercurochrome that didn't burn and methylate did. And I think that's right. And we would have all kinds of penicillin. I remember the first time I had a doctor, I was sick. And my doctor when I was growing up was named Dr. Duck. That was his name. And I remember the first time he gave me a shot, and I kicked that shot out of his hand. He was not a happy person. And I ended up getting that shot anyway. We may as well just go on with it, and not try to fight it. But, you know, when it comes to the reality here, there was absolutely nothing the centurion could do for his servant. You can love him. You can try to care for him. But where he needed to, or what he needed to do, was put in the Lord Jesus Christ's hands. So he went to the right person. Verse 3 tells us, and when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. So he sent for Jesus earnestly. He was beseeching him because he knew the power of Jesus. He knew the ability of Jesus. He knew that it was going to take Jesus to heal this servant, and he found that right person who was Jesus. And he sent for Jesus with humility. Verse 6 and 7, then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, troubleth not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. I want us to notice the contrast between how he saw himself and how others saw him. Because there is a contrast. And that's why I wanted just to look through the centurion's eyes, because the contrast is they came to Jesus, the elders and so on came to Jesus and said, look, you need to do this because he takes care of us. He built us a tabernacle. He did all these things. He loves our nation, so you need to heal him. You need to answer this request. But when Jesus came on the scene, he didn't have that approach. The centurion says, look, Jesus, I'm not worthy that you should even be under my roof. I'm not worthy. You see the contrast? There's a contrast there. You see, he approached Jesus with humility. Those that went to Jesus, they pleaded because of his testimony, if you will, and said he's worthy. Almost like they were saying, well, because he's living right, it was almost like they were saying, you owe this to him. I want us to understand that Jesus doesn't owe us anything, but he has given us everything. And that is through salvation. He has given us everything. A personal experience. My dad passed away, as you've heard and know. My dad passed away when I was 19 years old. And And if I would have looked at it in the wrong frame of mind, my dad had gotten things right with the Lord, and he was in church faithfully, and he was serving, he was teaching Sunday school, and he was enjoying life. He was finally got things right and was enjoying life, and then it was about 3 to 4 months later that he took his last breath. And it would have been very easy, he died of a heart attack, and it would have been very easy as a 19-year-old to be very bitter of what I saw. Because I was seeing things through my eyes, and I was seeing things, I don't understand, my dad was doing this, and doing this, and doing this, and yet he still died. When I was 16 years old, my very best friend that I was in youth club with, my very, very best friend said he was called into the ministry. He was going to Bible college, and his very first semester, he drowned. And our youth program, or the youth group that I was in, was crushed because our very best friend. And if we're not careful, it's easy for us to say, well, I don't understand. And that's why the song that they sang this morning, Farther Along, that's why I was thinking about that song, because there's going to be things that we don't understand. There's going to be some things that we just can't put our minds and wrap our minds around. But we need to remember that we don't do things and we don't serve the Lord because we feel like He owes us something. And the centurion knew that. And that was the difference, because he approached Jesus Christ with humility and approached Jesus with faith. And that's what we need to do, is approach Him with faith. You see, God makes no mistakes. So I'm going to ask us all a question this morning, is do we really believe that? It's easy for us to say it, but do we really believe that God makes no mistakes? He said in verse 7 that He wasn't worthy. Well, neither thought I myself worthy to come to thee. And this is where faith makes the difference. But saying in a word, and my servant shall be healed. In other words, she's saying, just say it. Just say it, and my servant, because I believe in who you are, I believe in your power, I believe in your ability, I believe in the person of Jesus Christ, and I believe that all you have to do is say the word, and my servant will be healed. But this is where it's important. It was between the centurion and Jesus. Between the centurion and Jesus. Oh, there was others that were looking on, and there was others that was there. But that conversation and that request was between the centurion and Jesus. Verse 8 and 9 shows us another important aspect of this passage of Scripture. Why would he give his own history in his own position in verse 8? For I say also, am I a man sent under authority, having under me soldiers? And I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Why would he start talking about his position? Notice what Jesus says in verse 9. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. A little testimony of when I was growing up, and I used to would go to church with my parents, and we were in church all the time when I was younger. And I felt like that even at a young age, I grew up with the idea that if a person would get saved, that all their problems would be over. And I grew up with the idea of everything would be different and there would be no more worries if a person gets saved. I grew up with the idea if you prayed and the prayer didn't get answered, then you were doing something wrong. But that's not true. Notice again verse 8. And this is the important aspect, because he tells Jesus his position and his authority. And he says, I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit. All I've got to do is say it and it'll happen because of my position, because he was a centurion. All I've got to do is say go and you're going to go. To his soldiers and to those that were serving him, all he had to do is say those words, go and goeth, and come, and they're going to come and do this, and he's going to do it. And so he was letting Jesus know that I understand your power. The centurion was simply saying, and this is important for us to understand as we're approaching Jesus Christ, Jesus, you have the final say of every situation.
Amen.
My faith is in you.
Yes.
What a wonderful thing to know. The Bible tells us that he cares for us. The Bible tells us that we make our request known. The Bible tells us to look unto the Lord, and that all things work together for them who love God and who are called according to his purpose. And the Bible tells us all these things. But if you miss the fact that Jesus has the final authority, then if you're not careful, a bitter spirit can come in your life. If you don't understand, and you have to know, and this takes faith, and you have to know that God knows what's best for us. He knows what's best. And when we're going through difficulties, we scratch our head, just like the song, Farther Along. You know, there's people that are prospering, and they're living ungodly, and they're living wicked. But God knows what's best. And let me tell you something. If we really believe this, and we really know this, things are going to be far better for us on the other side. And Jesus saw this man's faith. And his faith made the difference. It was the fact that he believed Jesus knew what was best. And he believed that Jesus had the power. And I'm sure that each one of us might be dealing with something right now. It could be a burden. It could be a concern. It could be a problem. And maybe there's someone here that's not saved, or someone listening online that's not saved. Do you really see the need like the centurion saw and bring it to Jesus? And that's what the centurion did. He brought what his concern was, and that's why I say this, I wanted us to look through the centurion's eyes, because this passage, yes, there was somebody that was healed, and yes, there were onlookers, and what a testimony that was, but this passage is dealing with Jesus and that centurion. And life is between us and Jesus Christ. So if you have a burden or a concern or a problem, are we truly bringing it to Jesus and asking in faith, but believing he knows what's best? We ask by faith, but we believe by faith as well. And he knows what's best for us. And it's faith that makes the difference. It was faith that made the difference in this centurion's life. Is faith really making a difference in our life? We're going to have an invitation, and I challenge you. Is faith making a difference in your life? And I invite you to come and pray like the centurion did. Father, I thank you for this passage of Scripture. and how it helps us. It helps us to realize that you know what's best for us, and it gives us something to build our faith on, that you know what's best. Father, if there's someone in our midst this morning, whether it's online, at home, we'll be listening in future days, Lord, I pray that we'll take the approach of the centurion and allow faith in Jesus to make the difference. And if you choose to answer these requests that we give you, Lord, we know that you know what's best. And if you choose not to answer the way that we're praying, help us to have the faith like Paul and say, your grace is sufficient to get us through them. Because we know that he had a thorn. And we may have thorns in our life, but we still need faith in you. Our faith is important. Help us to realize that it is faith that makes a difference. Bless this invitation, we pray. And I pray that people will be willing to come. If you move them, help them to come. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What number do you have for us, Brother Mike?
Number 323.
323, won't you come?